Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Share with you our reading that's from Luke chapter 2. We hear verses 45 through 49. So when they, Mary and Joseph, did not find him, Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? These are the very first recorded words of our Savior Jesus in the gospel lessons. And he was speaking them not to enemies, not to the Pharisees or to the crowds, but he was speaking to his own parents, to Joseph and Mary. And it is really a piercing question. And it's a question not just for them, but also for you and me to take to heart. It is a law question. A question that only gets asked because something went very wrong. Jesus was missing. 12-year-old boy missing in a big city. Mary and Joseph had lost him. And after 3 whole days of searching, you can imagine the panic, the anxiety that they must have had. They were right to be afraid. But then when Mary finally finds Jesus, it's interesting, she shifts the blame to him. She throws Jesus under the bus. "Son, why have you done this to us?" Isn't that an unfair question? Jesus didn't run away. He was not being disobedient. At 12 years of age, he was still responsible to his parents. They were responsible for him, for his well-being. He was under their care and supervision. And so the separation, it wasn't Jesus' fault at all. It was theirs. So what went wrong? It wasn't a lack of devotion. Mary and Joseph, they weren't careless people. It's not like they didn't love Jesus or care for him. The very fact that they were in Jerusalem for the Passover shows that they were faithful, devoted believers. What happened, what went wrong, is really recorded for us in the verse just before our text, where Luke writes, "Supposing him to have been in the company, they went a whole day's journey." The problem, what went wrong, was they made assumptions. They assumed. They supposed everything was fine. Really, they were on autopilot, and their hearts really were beginning to drift. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't malicious. But by the time they realized it, Jesus was already far, far away from them. And this is something that not only was faced by Mary and Joseph, but it's something that can also happen so quickly, so easily to you and me. It's not by open rebellion. It's not by rejecting God outright, but through something as simple as getting distracted, by making assumptions, by drifting slowly away, by putting God on autopilot. You and I, we can even go through all the right motions. We can stay busy. We can be active. We can be responsible. We can be outwardly religious and still lose track of Jesus. This is certainly a temptation for all of you. Campus life is incredibly full, isn't it? Classes, assignments, relationships, responsibilities. Life fills up so fast. And even 20 years after college, I tell you, it certainly doesn't even seem to slow down at all. And in the midst of all of this busyness, it becomes so easy to assume that Jesus is simply tagging along with you for the ride, that he's in the background. Usually we can feel that way until something suddenly hits, some tragedy, some hardship, some difficulty, some anxiety, some guilt that we feel. And then we might blurt out in emotion like Mary did, "Jesus, why would you do this to us? Where did you go?" But that question is just as unfair today when we ask it as it was then. Jesus didn't go anywhere. He didn't leave. We wandered. We find ourselves guilty of letting our hearts drift away through all of the busyness that we face in our lives. And it can happen that even though our lips might be in the process of honoring God, hearts can still be far away from Him. And so this really should come as a warning to us that Jesus and your relationship with Him is not to be assumed. Don't assume it. Do we treat Jesus as if He's just an add-on to our plans? Do we try to squeeze Him in the busyness of all of our lives? What does Jesus say? He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And of course, that kingdom of God is found in Him. When you and I recognize that this is the case for us, that it is true, that we are guilty of making assumptions and letting our hearts drift away from Him, we should let these words of the 12-year-old Jesus roll over us again. And these are words that He speaks to Mary and Joseph and also to you and me, not to drive us to despair. Yes, they acknowledge a real problem, that there is a problem that has happened, that we are guilty of having wandered away ourselves. But what comfort you and I also find in these words spoken by this 12-year-old boy when he says, "I must be about my Father's business." So what is that business? From childhood to the cross, Jesus is fully committed to His Father's business of your salvation. What you and I have failed to do, where we have wandered off, well, that never happened to Jesus. He was perfect. He was obedient in every way. Even here as a 12-year-old boy, He was all about seeking first the kingdom of God. Even at 12 years old, He could have been anywhere else in Jerusalem. Where is He? He's in the temple, in the Father's house, talking and marveling over theology. And with His obedience to the Father's business, Jesus earned righteousness, perfect righteousness in God's eyes that He now shares with all who believe in Him. It counts as your own. And speaking about obedience, we know our Savior Jesus, He was fully obedient. He remained obedient, even when it meant that He would have to face suffering in the cross. Jesus was obedient even unto death upon the cross in order to pay for all of your sins, even those sins of letting our hearts wander away from Him, those sins of losing Him. They are paid for. They are forgiven. And I don't think it's a coincidence that here in our text, Jesus was lost for 3 days, and then He was found. Years later, He would again seemingly be lost, arrested, abandoned, crucified, laid to rest in a tomb. But then what happens after 3 days? Well, He is found. Or rather, he goes searching out His disciples, His followers, to show them that He is alive. He is risen from the dead. And He declares to them that His Father's business of their salvation has been won. It has been accomplished. We now have peace with God. And knowing that Jesus is risen from the dead, that changes everything for His followers. Knowing that He is risen from the dead, knowing that He is now ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, that gives us the assurance that He will never abandon us. He doesn't go away. He remains present and faithful always. What was the promise He gave? "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I will be with you always to the very end." He remains present and faithful. He does this, directing all things in our lives, calling and directing us back to Himself. Even in those times when we are getting busy and distracted and tempted to think that he is detached or distant, he calls us back to himself. What a blessing. So when those moments arise where we might be tempted to ask, where did Jesus go? Why would he do this to us? Remember this, he hasn't gone anywhere. In fact, he tells you exactly where you can find him. He continues to be about his Father's business, found in his Father's house. He comes to you and me today still through the preaching of his word, through the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. He continues still today to be about his Father's business of your salvation for you, for your forgiveness, for your eternal life. All glory be to him. Amen.